A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. Garnett and I are back with Dushan Drew to continue our chat about the Bush Foundation. This time we learn about BushCon, a networking event designed to build stronger and more meaningful connections among networks of leaders. Plus, we get the story on what the foundation is doing around innovation. Lots more, too. So let's get to it.
I noticed on the website there's a BMAG and there's a BushCon or BCon. I'm not sure what it's called.
Yeah, BushCon, yeah.
BushCon. And I think you and I, on one of our recent chats, we talked about BushCon and what a cool, massive gala event that is. Give us a sense of the tools and the venues and the opportunities that you're putting out there to activate the network effort.
Sure thing. Success in life is a combination of many things, but certainly what you know and who you know are high on the list.
Sure.
Right. And so a lot of the work that we do is to try to connect with leaders across this region, which extends well beyond those who are grantees of ours or fellowship recipients, just leaders in its broadest term, connect them with other leaders. It helps them find people who can help them in their work. And I think it also offers a ton of inspiration. When you look around and you see 50 or 1,000 other people who in their own ways are trying to make something better. We're trying to pour themselves into something that's meaningful and that will have a big impact on what this place is, what this region is. And so Bush Connect, or BushCon for short, is an event that we do now every other year. We rent out the largest theater in Minneapolis, the Guthrie Theater, and we fill it with more than 1,200 people from all across the region. It's a curated list of people. We literally recruit organizations to recruit people to come to the event. And we do that so that we assure ourselves a good cross-section of leaders from across the region. As I said, we're working across three states, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, as well as the 23 Native Nations. And so we actively reach out to organizations sprinkled all across the region. And we reach out to organizations doing different kinds of work, from nonprofits working in healthcare to a chamber of commerce to an arts organization, and on and on and on, so that when you kind of pull back and look at the whole thing, kind of look at the tapestry that emerges, you really do see a tremendous cross-section of who we are. We pull them together for a day in this theater. It's unlike any event you've probably ever been to. There's a mix of speakers who've got thoughtful things to say as part of it, but really intentional about taking the 1,200 and getting folks into groups as small as 15 to 20 with. We call these sessions salons, but say the former mayor of Minneapolis or with some other business leader or some nonprofit leader talking about her story. This gives people a chance to ask questions in a way that you're not likely to when you're in an auditorium with 1,200 people, and it gives them a chance to get a little more intimate sense of what motivates, what drives, what scares at times some of the most successful and well-known leaders in our region. A lot of the programming, Bush Connect, is also interactive. We've had, in fact, one of the more popular sessions over the years has been folks from the Guthrie Theater doing sessions on combat, like how do you do combat scenes for plays? I mean, just a wide range of things fit in the bucket. And the purpose of it is to get these folks into a space for a day where they can hear some inspirational messages, meet some other people who are, as I said, really focused on making the region stronger, and come away a bit more energized and with a few ideas about things they want to try and people they want to follow up with. It's good for the soul. And it's also, when you're in that room, it's the diversity of faces and dreams that people carry. it's really powerful.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm waiting for my invite.
October of 2020, coming around again. We're already working on it.
I'll dust off my suit or my tuxedo or whatever the dress code is, and I'll be there with bells on. Hey, let's shift a little bit to the thing that we focus on exclusively across all sectors and all verticals. Let's talk more about what Bush Foundation is doing for community innovation and innovation in general. It seems like there are a couple of different tracks within your foundation that are addressing this. And then maybe after that, I want to talk more about impact. I know you guys are starting to move directly into that. And I don't know if it's impact investing or impact consulting, but you'll help us get educated on that, right?
I will.
Let's talk about innovation, man. The community grants and the Bush Prize for Community Innovation, wherever you want to start.
Our tagline at the Bush Foundation is that we invest in great ideas and the people who power them. So the Community Innovation Grants and the Bush Prize for Community Innovation are focused on great ideas, advancing them. And on the front end with the Community Innovation Grants, really what we're trying to do there is give people financial support as well as helping them with the networking that sometimes is needed, coaching to help them take an idea that they've got and test it and polish it and grow it and spread it. The way we look at it is that the best ideas come about and they're kind of a product of three key things. They need to include the people you're trying to impact. So their voices have to be present in the planning and in the rollout and in the adjustments that come after you roll out and discover that things actually aren't perfect and you've got to make some tweaks here and there. We're looking for collaboration with other stakeholders. So it's great to have a great idea on your own. It's likely going to be strengthened by getting other smart, committed people around the table to think about what you might do to polish or elevate it. And the third dimension of it, the third leg of the stool that this program is built on, is just being resourceful, really thinking about how you make the most of the resources you already have. On a basic level, that's how you turn off a light if you don't need it to save money, but it's also thinking about the other kinds of resources you have, from the talent available to you, to space, to who's got relationships we can tap into to help us drive this thing. Our grant program is designed to work with folks who are as early stage as, like, let's identify which of the many problems or challenges in our community we want to tackle. Let's get the right folks around the table a few times and figure out where we're going to start. So that the identification spectrum, or stage rather, to later stages where it's already up and built, but you're testing and tweaking. And what we really want to do is be a partner in helping people try new things and take some risks and hopefully learn how to produce something that's better than what's typically done in that arena. We're looking for things that are more effective, more sustainable, more equitable than what's commonly done. We recognize not every grant that comes through, every idea that comes through that we fund is going to, at least not in that round where we're directly involved, going to be a huge success and change the world overnight. But that is how things change. You get passionate, driven, smart people together, and they figure out what they can do together to make things better and repeat. A lot of the work that we're doing in that space is really about relationship building and about power sharing and making sure the people who are going to be impacted by the solutions that are developed have a significant role to play in shaping those solutions and tweaking them over time. So as we get smarter about things, we're folding that learning into how we approach the problem.
When you think about relationship building and power sharing, I want to make sure I'm understanding, because there was something that you and I have talked about previously on our private chats that was about ecosystem building. Is that pretty much the same thing as what you're trying to do, or part of what you're trying to do with the innovation grants?
Things happen, you know, in the ecosystem. So a lot of the work that we're trying to do is about building the right environment to support meaningfully inclusive decision making and to support real collaboration, not the thin stuff that is easy. The kind of collaboration that means we're going to disagree and we're going to stick through it. And we're going to have periods where things didn't go as well as we had hoped. And we're going to stick through it. And we're going to step into some areas that are really gray. And we're not going to really know what the right answers are. And we're going to stick to it. We're going to work through it. We're committed to figuring it out together and pushing through the challenging times to build something that is better than what we've got now. And part of that is, you think about sort of the relationship piece of it, is beyond the project of the moment, and certainly we want those to succeed, what we really want to see is the nature of relationships change so that you and Mark and I work on something together. It may be hard, it may take longer than we thought it was going to take, and it may cost more money than we thought it was going to take. And it may not be a complete success. It may be a partial success. But we get to the end of that process, and we feel like we went to war together and we developed a real respect and trust within the circle. If one of you calls me and says, hey, I got an idea, I'm there, right? I'm going to show up. I might bring some other friends with me. If our dealings, however, were not constructive or not respectful or not healthy, and you call me, I'm probably going to look at my caller ID on my phone and silence it and get back to what I was doing. Part of what we're trying to do through this grant program is support the kinds of relationships and a kind of approach to problem solving and community building that really is about respect and is about appreciating what different players have to offer and about power sharing in ways that help you get it right, but also draw people deep in the connections and the commitment, not just to that one project, but to how we work together.
COVID-19 patients need your help.
If you've fully recovered from COVID-19
or unknowingly been exposed to it,
you may have the antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients recover.
Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies.
Visit Vitalant.org today to schedule an appointment to donate blood.
That's Vitalant.org. Help save lives and schedule your appointment at Vitalant.org.
You could help save lives.
On the community innovation grants, earlier today I was scanning the list of the 2019 winners, and something popped into my mind that was sort of interesting, and I don't always see this. I'm certainly not an expert on foundation work and nonprofits and stuff, but this award is intended to find people who are developing, and then the thing that really set me off was testing.
Yes.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the testing part of innovation? You know, data science, testing, that's something that comes up in the for-profit world that I live in as an investor and entrepreneur, literally hourly, definitely daily. I'm curious how you look at identifying, you know, worthy recipients of innovation grants.
So part of it, to be blunt, is if you come to us and say, we have it all figured out, we just need money, this grant's not for you. Literally, what we're aiming for, well, not like, you know, flipping kind of way, but people say, we think this is it, but we don't really know. We can't know until we build it or until we push it out, or until we try it with some real people or until we try it in a few different places. And so we want the folks we're working with to recognize that they're not omnipotent. They're the stuff that they don't know and they can't control. And we also want them to be ambitious. They have big, audacious goals. And when you combine those things, it means, yeah, probably you're going to be hopefully close to right, but probably not exactly right. So we want folks to try it, be honest with themselves and with us about how well it's working, be reflective enough and connected enough to the other folks in the process, right, to understand what changes, adjustments they might make to make it better and then try again. Whether it's the light bulb or anything else that we kind of take for granted now, it didn't happen through one iteration, right? People built it, tried it. It failed outright or was just a partial success, and they kept working on trying to make it better. So when we talk about testing, it's really that it's this degree of humility and honesty, which is like, yeah, this we think this is going to work. We think this will be better. But even if it works and it's better than what was there, could it be better still? What do we do to come up with an even better version of this, a more effective version, a more sustainable version, a more, as I said earlier, equitable version? Plenty of things work for some people, but don't work for all people. So a lot of the work that we think about trying to advance is about the power piece being an important element of it. Like, how do we build this in a way that works for more people? How do we build this in a way that really includes the insights and the talents of a wider range of people, particularly the folks who are going to live with
it? What's interesting, Mark, about what he just said, listening to Dushan talk so wisely about testing and how they go about it and what the mindset is and the psychology of testing and improvement and that sort of stuff. It reminds me of Chris Clegg from Portma.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
His cool new podcast, Demystifying Data.
Yeah, definitely.
For a minute there, I thought Dushan was channeling Chris Clegg.
And of course, that's one of our new podcasts on the Podco Media Networks,
which is going to get announced tomorrow, actually. Is there a particular community innovation grant winner that you remember off the top of your head just for the sheer cleverness of the innovation? I'm not going to put you on the spot, but if there is something that jumps out at you, I'm sure our listeners would love to hear it.
Bush Prize for Community Innovation maybe is a piece of that because it's built on the same three legs of the stool. The Bush Prize goes to an organization that says, hey, you're looking for folks who do problem solving in ways that are inclusive and collaborative and resourceful. That's who we are. That's in our DNA. Everything we do is built that way. It's no one project, but it's how we operate. People can demonstrate, organizations can demonstrate that that's what they do year in, year out, that they move in a way that really helps them channel the desires of the community they're trying to support. We work with them. So one example is there's a group called the Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation. They're out in Pine Ridge in South Dakota. They've won a couple of grants over time to work on related but different things. The most recent one is to work working on it, but they've done a bunch of stuff around sustainable housing and workforce development, the combination of those two. If you go out to most reservations, you won't find the best housing in the country, and you often won't find enough housing, to be frank. So, and unemployment is a huge issue. So they got a grant in 2014 to both train folks to put houses up, but then in the course of doing that, they began to fill in more of the housing need that was there. So it's kind of a twofer and then some, right? They came back around again a few years later to kind of build upon that idea and focus on more of a regional plan for economic development. They just bring them up because they think that's really creative problem solving, looking at multiple problems and multiple opportunities simultaneously, and creating something that really, when it's all said and done, in an environment like that, the outside community is not going to come in and solve those issues. Those solutions need to be created and driven internally. And we can offer some money, and we can maybe offer some expertise for pieces of it. But I love those kinds of projects because people are looking at the talent that they have within their four walls and looking at making investments in their people that will then turn into all kinds of opportunities for community development and economic development.
Very interesting. Thanks for drilling down on that. I always find it easier to understand stuff with real-world examples and like specific cases, and that was a good one. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the future, literally talking about the future at the very end. One of the things that we ask our esteemed guests to do is give us their vision of the future or one or two predictions about what they think is going to happen over the next year or two. We'll wind up with that. I want to talk a little bit about the sort of future program development that Bush Foundation seems to be undertaking around impact, impact consulting, impact investing. Tell me more about that. I know you put an RFP out there or a request for introductions or referrals. I'm not sure what it was for an impact expert.
Right. So it'll probably take a few different forms. So most private foundations, we're a private foundation, most private foundations take 5% of whatever their endowment is and push out into the community and into the world on an annual basis. So we're about $1 billion. That means we're pushing out about $50 million a year, which is significant, especially because we're working in 3-state, 23 Native Nation region, right? We're not a national foundation. But there's the other 95%, the corpus, another $950 million sitting there. We've been talking more about how we can use more of our resources to help drive positive change in the region. So over time, it's going to evolve. Our staff and our board are all actively working, getting smarter about how to do this well. And so we've hired new investment partners, and we've been kind of going back to school ourselves on the different ways we can apply the resources we have to drive change in communities. And so I think in addition to making the kinds of grants we've been making for decades, we're going to be looking at things like program-related investments. That could be taking a stake in enterprise. It could mean taking a position that maybe lowers the interest that someone pays in a loan. We're still figuring out what that will exactly look like, but we've been studying what others have done in this space and thinking more about how to make the most of the resources that Archie left us. The grant making is always going to be, I think, central to what we're about, but we have other tools available and we have an opportunity to help drive positive change in the region through making other kinds of investments here that go beyond what foundations traditionally do. we're excited about that. As I said, we're still figuring out exactly what it will look like, but the money is there to make the region healthier. So we want to get more engaged in doing so.
In the internal brainstorming about this, I know that it's not final what you want to do, and I know you're true to Bush Foundation form. You're reaching out for a lot of input from the wider community. Has there been any discussion about Bush Foundation's potential participation in anything to do with opportunity zones? That's something that has come up in our innovation podcast in multiple ways with multiple people, multiple guests.
I think that's certainly an area we would be looking at. Could be one of the kinds of investments we make. Could be along those lines in time after we decide where we are going to go. I think we're going to start doing some things later this year, and then we've got to get a toe in the water already in some respects. But we haven't been making investments in specific organizations. We've been making ecosystem-like investments, making investments in organizations whose success then spurs the success of other organizations. So the next stage will be more direct investment in particular projects and particular businesses or organizations that have a great idea that needs more finance to make it go. So that's up the road a bit, but it would strike me as among the things we would likely consider doing, just because that's where I think a lot of the impact can be had.
Yeah, makes potential sense depending on how you guys end up defining it, but surely the alignment is there with not only the impact and the innovation and outcomes, but also with the sense of the innovation being community-based or the development being community-based. And it seems like there's a natural alignment with some of the focus points that come out in the typical opportunity zone investments. Great. Hey, so here's the fun part. Now we get to play, seer and fortune teller. Give me a couple of fun or serious, up to you, predictions for the future, near future, let's say.
Yeah, I think the future is going to see, and I think this region will be a big piece of it, just more and more leaders coming from non-traditional communities, communities that have often been overlooked or under-resourced. If you look at a list of Bush Fellows, a lot of those are people of color, they're Native American folks, they're white folks as well, working from rural communities, just folks where there's talent everywhere. I think the future is going to look, in terms of the face of leadership, is going to look a lot more like the communities we live in look. And that's going to be a good thing, that we're going to have more people who are skilled and connected and have a real sense of who's here, the range of talent and the range of realities, and folks who are committed to knitting things together in a way that makes this region and hopefully the country just work better for everyone.
Very cool. Our guest today has been Dushan Drew, longtime friend, a relatively new professional collaborator, and an amazingly talented guy whose unique combination of skills makes him very, very of the moment. And everything that he said, it really resonates across a lot of different areas of my life, and I think of the marketplace in general. Dushan, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. So good to talk with you guys.
Thanks, Dushan.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit the innovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.